The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Now, we've been doing episodes where we take questions and we do our best to answer them. Bob and Sean are great at this. If you have questions that you would like Bob or Sean to take a stab at, you can send them to us, radio@faithalone.org. Now, before we move on, I'd like to remind you that we have our National Bible Conference coming up very soon, and there's still enough time to register. You can register by going to faithalone.org, click on events at the top of the page, and you can learn all you need to know right there on the site. We would love to see you there. It's a great time every year. Let's go right to today's discussion as we talk about the nature of belief. This is Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thank you for tuning in to Grace in Focus. We so appreciate your support by listening, and we'd love to hear where you're from, what platform you're listening to us on.
Is they it listen on platform?
Well, you know, yeah. I mean, yes. How do I turn that into a joke?
I mean,
platforms like iTunes what's the other? Spotify, that's another big one. Wherever you're listening, give us a review. That really helps us. Takes you what?
You know,
minutes?
I've never used any of these things you're talking about.
You don't even
YouTube.
Know.
YouTube. I do know YouTube.
You
and
think
I use
the internet
that.
Is a box on your desk.
I do. It's a miracle thing. It just happens.
However you're connected to us, via satellite, via undersea cable.
Whatever your platform is.
Maybe you have like bunny ears and you stand up on a platform trying to get signals. I don't know. Give us a review on whatever
five-star
app. You use. Okay,
please.
App, is that better?
App is good. I know what an app is.
All right, here's a question from Joseph, and this is a good question. It is, I was wondering if believing on the name of Jesus is the same as believing on the finished work of the gospel for salvation. I ask this because the first one is very simple, being faith on the name of Jesus. I used to believe that belief on the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 was salvific, but then people started to add these things that we need to believe to be saved, the virgin birth, Jesus' perfect nature, etc. And even in the next verses of 1 Corinthians 15, 5-8, it adds that Jesus was seen by apostles in a very specific manner. And the people that were adding these things were saying that unless you believe that Jesus was raised on the third day, just one example, then you are believing in another Jesus. They would use the believed in vain verses to say that a person could still not believe on their works for salvation, but be believing on another Jesus. However, I disagree because in 1 Corinthians 15:17, it shows that the only instance of believing in vain would be if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Could GES clear up these verses?
I think we can, but there's a lot there.
Well, maybe we can work backwards. So
okay.
A lot of people do say that 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 is what you need to believe to be saved. But as Joseph says here, they often do drop verses 5-8.
Right. And almost every single one of them drops, and he was buried.
Right.
So I've not heard anybody that said, if you believe Jesus died on the cross and they just left him on the cross for, you know, 2 days and then he rose from the dead right from the cross, that you're not born again.
Right. What do you think about Joseph's comment here that, and then people add other things you need to believe that aren't in this list, like the virgin birth or his perfect divine nature or, I mean, you've seen that, right? I certainly have.
Well, how about justification by faith alone? There's nothing about justification here,
right,
or salvation,
right,
or by faith alone. Oh, wait a minute. The word saved does appear, but did you notice when the word saved appears in verse 2, almost everybody who believes in justification by faith alone doesn't actually discuss it. Mm. Because what it speaks of is a present tense salvation. He says, moreover, brethren, and by the way, there was a version of the early King James that misprinted and said, move over, brethren.
Move over, brethren.
But it's moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Notice the words, and in which you stand,
yeah,
by which also you are saved. So saved there is equal to standing in the faith, by which you are present tense saved, if, and it's conditional, you hold fast the word of God which I preached to you. And he's going to say that the word of God which he preached to them as he goes on to say, centers on the death and resurrection of Jesus.
Right.
And then he says, unless you believed in vain. And I agree with Joseph, believing in vain would be if Jesus didn't rise from the dead.
And that's what it means here.
Verses 17 and 19 bring this out clearly.
And it doesn't mean you're believing in another Jesus. Sometimes people are like, you need to believe X amount of facts about Jesus, otherwise you believe in another Jesus. But that's not the issue here. The issue here is, listen, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, none of this is true.
Exactly.
So, you know, you've believed in Jesus, but it's worthless because it would all be false. And that's what believing in vain means.
Exactly. And 1 Corinthians 15 is widely known to be the great resurrection chapter. Verses 1 to 11 are not evangelistic verses. And then suddenly, starting in verse 12, we get in sanctification verses about the resurrection. All of 1 through 58 is about sanctification. He's talking here about being spiritually healthy. That's what, when he says you are saved, he means you are currently spiritually healthy if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. And so what Paul is saying is this: we cannot be spiritually healthy if we lose our grip on the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not talking about who's born again and who's not born again.
Right.
Now, hypothetically, other scripture could say, in order to be born again, you must believe these 12 truths, or these 5 truths, or these 3 truths. But 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, or 1 through 4, does not establish anywhere how a person is born again.
If this is a new idea for you, it shouldn't be. I would challenge you, go to Romans chapter 6. This is the beginning of Paul's sanctification section in the book of Romans. And guess what his whole argument about sanctification is based on? It's all based upon Christ dying and rising and what that means to believers who are united to him in the death and resurrection and what that means for their practical sanctification. It's the same teaching. You need to know about the death and resurrection of Christ in order to experience his life being lived through you.
That is great, Sean. And he talks about being raised to walk in newness of life.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so, in order to do that, our focus must always be on our risen Savior, because that's where our power flows from, is from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Spirit of God takes that resurrection power. We see the same thing in Philippians chapter 3. You see it all through the New Testament. So the real question is, he starts out with, is believing on the name of Jesus or in the name of Jesus the same as believing in or on his finished work?
The finished work, yeah.
And I would say, ultimately, Joseph, it depends on what you mean by his finished work. In other words, if what you mean is, if a person believes that Jesus died on the cross for his sins, and by the way, 1 Corinthians 15 doesn't say anything about the cross.
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
And it doesn't mention substitutionary atonement.
Right.
There are other verses that are much clearer on substitutionary atonement. You know, he died in our place, but this verse doesn't quite say that.
Right.
If a person believes that Jesus died on the cross for our sins as our substitute, that doesn't necessarily mean that they believe that by faith in him, they have a secure salvation. But if a person believes in the finished work of Christ, that is, that by his death on the cross, Jesus has completely removed the sin barrier so that all who simply believe in him have everlasting life that can never be lost, then yes, believing in the finished work of Christ would be identical to believing in his name. However, most people understand believing in his finished work to mean something like, I believe he died on the cross for my sins and he rose again.
Yeah.
But not that I believe that means I'm secure.
Right.
In other words, I've met people before who say, yeah, okay, you've convinced me. Jesus' death on the cross was once and for all. He's never going to die again. It covers all the sins of the world. He's removed the sin barrier. But I don't believe that that teaches eternal security. I believe I still have to be faithful in order to keep my salvation. Since that is the predominant understanding of what it means to believe in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, therefore, no, it's not the same as believing in his name, because in John 1:12, to believe on his name is to believe that he's given you the authority to become children of God and to be, 1:13, born of God.
Yeah, John does talk about, he emphasizes Jesus' name a lot. And I don't think I have my mind wrapped fully around what John means by this emphasis on the name. You know, it mm-hmm. seems like there are sometimes, like, do you remember the time when someone who was not one of the disciples is going around
right.
performing exorcisms in the name of Jesus, and the disciples try to stop him, and he refuses to do it, and they go to Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, just let him alone. But it seems like the name of Jesus has some sort of power, even for someone who's maybe not a disciple. I don't really know.
Well, even the seven sons of Sceva evidently were using the name of
right.
Jesus to cast out demons, and that one of the demons said, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who are you?
Right. Yeah. So how does the name of Jesus function in John's gospel?
Well, I think the name of Jesus, it's the Greek word anama, and it basically refers to his character. And it ultimately refers to his faithfulness.
Okay.
So to believe in the name of Jesus is to believe in his faithfulness to his promise of everlasting life. Because all through John's gospel, what we see is, he who believes in me has everlasting life. That's John 3:16, 3:17, 3:18, John 5:24, 6:35, 6:47, etc., etc. All the way through John, believing in Jesus and having everlasting life are tied. And believing in his name is equivalent in John's gospel to believing in him. He will say, believing in me. Those are all equivalent concepts.
So it's not believing in the magic name of Jesus.
No.
It's the person. It's the giver of the gift.
John 4:10, exactly.
It's not just any Jesus. It's not just the sound in the air. It's the one who's made the promise and who's faithful to his promise. Jesus, who gives everlasting life to the believer.
Right. But we err if we start listing how many things you have to believe about Jesus in order to be convinced he is faithful to his promise of everlasting life.
Right.
If we start saying, well, you've got to believe he was buried. You've got to believe he was born in Bethlehem. You've got to believe that he lived a sinless life.
Virgin birth.
He was born of a virgin. If you start adding these things in, whatever they are, where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
It seems to me where you draw the line is whoever believes in him has everlasting life. John 3:16.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about the meaning of believing in Jesus for everlasting life. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.